Now we're looking at the last chapter in the book of Acts, chapter 28, and I'm going to use verse 9 as the title to the message. So when this was done, that is when Paul healed the father of the governor, when this was done, others also, boy, the news got out, which had diseases, probably incurable diseases in that day, they came and were healed. They were healed. It wasn't a pretend or a play-like. It was real miracle of God's grace. So I'm taking the title from the words found there in verse 9. Those that had diseases were healed. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save people who are diseased with sin from head to foot, with a horrible terminal disease called S-I-N. You remember the description from Isaiah chapter 1? We said the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores which have not been treated, bound up, or mollified with ointment. We are sinners before God through and through. Does that describe you? It does. It is. Sin is what we are. Sin is what we are. In Adam, all have sinned. In Adam, all are guilty. We are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Sin is what we are. I'm a sinner. Sins, plural, is what we do. We do what we do because of what we are. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we say we've not sinned, we make God a liar and the truth's not in us. The good news of the gospel is, if you know yourself to be a vile, wretched, guilty sinner, the good news of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Those who are well don't need a doctor. Those who are sick. Our Lord said, go learn what that means. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. As my pastor used to say all the time, if I can find a sinner, I've got good news for him. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. As Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And then he adds, I'm the chief one. I'm the chief one. Now, remember from our last study, there were 276 men aboard this ship, and they were cast into a violent, raging, stormy sea. Some could swim, some couldn't. Some just grabbed pieces of the ship, some grabbed boards that were floating, but they all made it safe to land. You remember why? The Apostle Paul was told by God that not one hair of one person would perish and no one would be harmed. All will come safe to land. You remember verse 44 of Acts 27? Some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass. They all escaped safe to land. It came to pass because God said it would come to pass. All that he has promised, all will come to pass. Now, Paul being shipwrecked on this island, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And this island was full of a barbarous people, which showed us kindness, no little kindness, that is great kindness. They kindled a fire. They were all soaking wet. They were cold. They received us, everyone, because of the rain and because of the cold. Now, just what these men needed at the time, they needed to be warmed up and needed a fire. Now, Paul being shipwrecked on this island was no accident. All this great mighty wind was blowing all the time and sending the Apostle Paul to this exact point, this exact place, to these people who were gathered there. It was not an accident. It was not due to what some people call Lady Luck, or some people would say Mother Nature controls the weather. It wasn't due to Lady Luck, Mother Nature, or misfortune. They were there at this time and this place on this occasion because God purposed it from all eternity. The absolute sovereign will and purpose of God was being done. These people in this island, they had no idea what was going on, did they? They didn't have any idea who Paul was or the message that he had. But God put right in their midst exactly what they needed, a gospel preacher. One of the greatest blessings God can give any community or people is a God-sent, God-called gospel preacher. That's what was sent to them. God worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God had some of His elect upon this island of Melita. The modern-day island is called Malta. That must hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who must hear it, believe it, to the saving of their soul. And the Lord, Paul spent 3 months there, and I know what he was doing in those 3 months. We've seen his repeated pattern. Any place he went, any town he went, any village he went, he always lifted up Christ, always preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. The means that God has ordained to call out his people is the preaching of the gospel. Couldn't these people be saved without hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. That's why God sent him there. It pleased God through preaching to call out his people. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Whenever the Lord is pleased to call out and save one of his elect, God will somehow, some way, put a gospel preacher in the path of the object of His mercy, the object of His grace. The message will be preached, the message will be heard, and a sinner will be saved. That's the pattern we've seen all the way through the book of Acts, is it not? We've seen this repeated story over and over and over again. Whether it's Peter, whether it's Philip, or whether it's Paul, or another preacher. God sent the gospel preacher. They preached the message, and the Lord called out his people. You remember the story of Philip. He was down in Samaria holding a great revival. And God took him out of that meeting and sent him way down to a desert country to one sinner, the eunuch, who was traveling from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and headed back home, reading Isaiah 53. And Philip took that scripture and preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. And God saved him. And he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ right out there in the desert when he was baptized, the Apostle Paul. Again, we see the Apostle Peter sent to the house of a Gentile soldier named Cornelius. And Paul preached to him the gospel. And Cornelius said, "We're all here to hear all things commanded thee of God." And Paul and Peter both preached the gospel. Or Peter to the house of Cornelius and Paul to others. But they heard the message and God blessed it to the salvation of their soul. That's the pattern God uses. Paul was in Philippi, and there was a group of women down by the riverside. Usually he went to a synagogue, to a Jewish synagogue, because there were so few people. There's just a bunch of Jewish women down by the riverside meeting and attempting to worship God. And Paul went there and preached Christ unto them. You remember what it said? God opened Lydia's heart. And then word got out there in Philippi, and he was terribly mistreated and beaten and imprisoned and put in prison. Paul and Silas were singing praises to God, and the jailer heard them. God sent an earthquake, and that jailer asked the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Sinners are saved by the grace of God, hearing the gospel truth and believing it being granted and given faith and regenerated by the Spirit of God and granted faith to believe the gospel. It is true God elected the people unto salvation from the beginning. God had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world and adopted us to be sons of God. It is true God elected a people from all eternity, gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also true that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the elect, His sheep, upon the cursed tree, completely putting away their sin and accomplished their salvation, right? He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. It is also true that God the Holy Spirit will take the word of truth, convict and convince of sin, and regenerate sinners by His almighty power. It is true. God the Holy Spirit quickens sinners. He quickens whom He will. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. This is also true. Let us never forget that God, in His sovereign love and electing grace, is also the God of ordained means to call out His people. That is why God sent Paul to Melita on his way to Rome. These people must hear the gospel. And God granted them faith in Him. Paul spent in Christ. Paul spent 3 months there on the island preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the pattern that God uses. Turn over here to the book of Romans. You have it right there handy. Romans chapter 10. Remember it says in verse 13, Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord now. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not heard, in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who hath believed? Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the command of God, the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've all experienced this fact in our own personal lives. It's no accident you heard the gospel from a servant of the Lord. That's not an accident. You just didn't bump into the gospel. It's no accident that you heard the gospel from a servant of the Lord, whether it be Pastor Mahan, Pastor Fortner, or Pastor Harding. God was pleased to send you a gospel preacher, and you heard the message, and God gave you life. God gave you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't make much of the servants of the Lord. He's just an earthen vessel with the treasure of the gospel, but we do make much of the means that God has ordained. We make much of preaching. We don't make much of the preacher, but we make much of the means that God has ordained, that is the preaching of the gospel. That verse that's quoted there in Romans 10, I read a moment ago, in Isaiah 52 it says this. That's where that comes from, Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith to Zion, you know what we say? Thy God reigneth. Thy God reigns. Grace is sovereign grace. God reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. So that's the first point. God had an elect there who must hear the gospel, must be granted faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what happened. Now, here's the second thing I want us to see is this. Even though all men are guilty and totally depraved before God, they still can be very religious and lost. and need to be called out of pagan darkness to true light in Christ. Now, these people, they were very religious. Our Lord said this, that he's the true light. He said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God must command the light to shine in our hearts, that we might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. These people in this island of Melita were very, very religious, but they were lost. I read somewhere the oldest freestanding building structure that's found in the world today is on the island of Melita or Malta, 3500 BC, one of the oldest standing built structures. Now, I say that to tell you this. You know what it's built around? And two, it's a pagan temple to their idol gods. These people had religion all their lives, yet they were lost and dead in sin and needed to hear the message of salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, notice some things about them, verse 2. It says that they were barbarians, Gentile sinners, pagans, but they showed us no little kindness. I mean, they didn't just find these men who were swam out of the ocean and tie them up and butcher them. No, they showed them kindness. They even built a fire and probably cooked some food, and they received us because of the present rain and because of the cold. They were kind to these men and to the others. They were kind and generous, but yet they had a problem. Being kind and generous is not salvation. They had a sin problem. They could not put away their sin by their kind deeds. Now, I've known some religious people over the years. Very, very religious, kind people. They were nice folks, decent people. But by nature, they're dead in sin. By nature, they need salvation. You see, you can be a kind and decent person, but yet that is not salvation. Salvation is in Christ. Salvation is being one with the Lord Jesus Christ. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. So these people were kind and generous, but yet religious and yet dead. Notice the second thing. These people even had an awareness of the existence of God and the justice of God. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, verse 3, and laid them on the fire, there came out this snake out of the heat and fastened on him. And these people, when they saw this snake hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom, though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. They're saying the vengeance of their God, this man escaped the raging waves of the sea, but now this snake is taking vengeance of our God. You see, they had a sense of justice, didn't they? By the light of nature, sinners have an awareness that there is a God. Turn to Romans, just one page over, Romans chapter 1. Verse 20 says, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. By the light of nature, they had some awareness of the existence and justice of God. The second thing, they had the law of God written upon their conscience. They knew that murder was wrong, didn't they? Now, how'd they know that? They had the law of God written upon their conscience. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Men by nature know it's wrong to steal, to murder, to lie. Why do they know that? How do they know that? The law of God is written upon their conscience. They know it's wrong. These people knew that murder was wrong, and they had a sense of justice. This man deserves to die because he's a murderer. The third thing I see is this. The religion of the natural man is always perverted and wrong. When Paul shook that viper off his hand, he felt no harm. Now, I guess that's where some people think that they can take up serpents and show off. Paul was not trying to show off. He was not saying, you know, I'm somebody special and this snake biting me. He's not trying to show off. He was just gathering some sticks to put it on the fire. But God protected him in a special way and protected his health. And when he suffered no harm, it got their attention. And Paul was able to preach the gospel to them. The religion of the natural man is always perverted. Howbeit, when they looked at him, when he should have swollen up and fallen down dead suddenly, and after a while, looked upon him, and they saw no harm, they changed their mind and said, oh, he's not a murderer, he's a god. You see how perverted they were in their religious thinking? There is a way that seems right unto men. The end of that way, what is the end of that way? Death. Most men who were bitten by this serpent died quickly without exception. But when Paul simply shook off the snake and went about his business, right away they changed their mind and said, well, he's a god. Now, we've seen this before in the book of Acts. Turn back to Acts 14. When Paul healed that cripple there at Lystra, the impotent man, in Acts chapter 14, when Paul said in verse 10, stand up on thy feet, and he leaped and walked, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconian, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands under the gate, and would have done sacrifice. And Paul said, don't worship me, I'm just a man. We're all of men of like passion, and preach to you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, verse 15, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all things therein. So you see how perverted men are by nature. They can be very religious and be very perverted and wrong in their thinking. We've seen that. Now here's the thought. All our thoughts left to ourselves about God are always wrong. Left to ourselves, all of our thoughts about the true and living God are always wrong. Our Lord said, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. Left to ourselves, our thoughts about God are all wrong. God is not who we think he is. He's who he is as he's revealed in the Word. Left to ourselves, all our thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ are wrong. He's not just a Son of God. He's God the Son with all authority and all power. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. Left to ourselves, all of our thoughts about God are wrong. All of our thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ are totally wrong. He's not a weak, impotent, frustrated Savior. He's the Almighty, conquering King. And left to ourselves, all of our thoughts are wrong about who we are. We think too highly of ourselves. We think high thoughts of self and low thoughts about God. Left to ourselves now. I'm telling you right. All of our thoughts about ourselves are wrong, and all of our thoughts about how God saves sinners are wrong too. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My pastor of many years said this: all error in theology comes from making Almighty God less than He is and making man more than he is. All error in theology comes from making Almighty God less than He is. If He's not the absolute sovereign, that's error in theology. Theology is the study of God. Comes from making God less than He is revealed in the Word of God and making man more than he is, a sinner saved by grace. Free will, works religion, has made man God and our Lord, our God, less than he is. Free will, works religion, is the religion of all lost pagans because they deny that God is God. They deny the absolute sovereign will of God, who will have mercy on whom He will. That's so. God said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Now, here's the last point. Verse 7 down through verse 10. God used Paul to preach the gospel to these people for 3 months he spent with them. Verse 11. After 3 months we departed. Many were healed and many were saved on this island of Melita. Malta. As we've seen in all of Paul's travels, the Lord Jesus Christ always opened the door for him to preach the gospel, and that's the very reason that he's here on this island, ministering to these people here. And the ministry that Paul had there for those 3 months had a lasting effect upon the people there. I looked this up to make sure. I had this in a note and I wanted to make sure. But if you go to Google Map or Google Earth or whatever it, either one, if you look at the modern day Malta, there is a bay on that island. You know what it's called? St. Paul Bay. Had a lasting effect upon these people here. They named this bay where Paul was shipwrecked after him. Now, this man, Publius, verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days. This man was the governor of this island, a Roman governor. And it came to pass that his father, the father of Publius, lay sick of a fever. He had an infection. He had a bloody flux. They say this is a dysentery where you're bleeding through the bowel. To whom Paul entered in, he prayed. He prayed unto God, giving thanks. He laid his hands on this sick man, and he was healed. Now, many think that Publius heard Paul preach the gospel and was given faith to believe the gospel. With God, all things are possible. And the reason most of the writers think that is because when this man's father was grievously ill, probably on his deathbed, probably had tried all the other physicians and witch doctors and everybody else and grew worse each day, he said, Paul, would you come and pray for my father? I believe this man believed the gospel. He called for Paul, and the Lord, through Paul, healed this man That got their attention too, didn't it? These apostles had special God-given gifts to demonstrate they were sent of God with the gospel. When the apostle was bitten by the deadly serpent and did not die, it got their attention. When Paul was blessed and God, through his ministry, healed this man, it got their attention, didn't it? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. These apostles were given special gifts and credentials to show they were sent of God, that they had God's gospel, God's message. Now, am I going to take up deadly serpents to prove to you that I'm a preacher of the gospel? I hope not. Let's hope not. We don't need these special gifts today because God has given us the completed word of the Lord. All we do is turn and read and repeat what God's already said. These men didn't have the completed record of God. We don't need the special gifts today because we have God's word. We're commanded to go preach the gospel. We preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of God and unto salvation. And God, the Holy Spirit, takes the word preached to the hearts of his people and quickens them and calls them out of darkness to God's marvelous light. Now notice what else happened, verse 9. So, when this was done, others also heard the good news. There's a remedy for the diseases in the island. They came, and you know what happened? God healed them too. With God, all things are possible. Anything too hard for the Lord? We read in Luke chapter 9, when the people followed the Lord Jesus, he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. Do you have a need? Our God's able to meet all our need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord didn't come to call the righteous. Those who are well don't need a physician. He didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The Lord came to seek and to save the lost. Thanks be unto God that sinners who are blessed to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're healed. There's life in a look with the Savior. You remember there's a story in the book of Numbers, Numbers 21, when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness for those 40 years, and God sent fiery serpents among them because they complained against God. And everyone who was bitten with that fiery serpent, it was a fatal bite unless they looked to the brazen serpent lifted up. That brazen serpent lifted up. You remember God told Moses to take a brazen serpent likened to the bitten, likened to the serpent, and raise it up on a pole. And he told the people, you look and you'll live. Look and live. John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to that very story, and here's what he says. I'm going to read it to you. You're familiar with this scripture. John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look, our Lord said, I'm the only just God and Savior. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. Salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you look anywhere else? Neither is there salvation in any other. Look to the object of faith, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him and to him alone. They were healed. Boy, salvation's a healing. It's God doing a work for us and God doing a work in us, making us new creatures in Christ. With his stripes, With his stripes, you remember Isaiah 53? With his stripes, we are healed. Healed. I thought of this one other scripture. I'll read this and let you go. I was thinking of this point after I'd studied the message this morning early, and this scripture came to my mind. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord," verse 1, "O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." He heals our soul by putting away our sin, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. As far he hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. You need healing. You need salvation. I do. Look to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of God.